My name's Nicole Glinsky. I am here interviewing Mrs. Margaret Alexander at her home. The date is April 2nd, 2007. And I am conducting this interview for Dr. Flint's oral history and memory class at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. Thank you, Miss Alexander, for agreeing to meet with me today and do the interview. Could you tell me a little bit of background as to your experience in Brooklyn?
Well, I lived in Brooklyn from about 1947 through 62 in urban renewal. When we were moved from Brooklyn in 1962 and came out here. I recall I lived 415 East Stonewall Street. Now, our house was located between South Caldwell Street and Brevard Street. We lived in a 8-room house and had a large, one bathroom, however, two large hallways, one in the center of the house and one at the back of the house. The porch was all the way across the front of the house. We enclosed it at one point and screened it, the front, so you could sit out and look over. The back was enclosed, and the kids could play out there. We had a large sandbox in the front where they would play. Any number of the neighborhood kids would come and play in the yard with my children. We had two sons, Kelly and Alfred. They attended school at Maya Street Elementary School. Then from there, 4 years apart, Alfred was the youngest, Kelly Jr. being the oldest. When Kelly was at Second Ward High School, Alfred was at Maya Street School. So I had any number of the kids come in there so I could keep an eye on my children and who their playmates were and all of that.
So you had a pretty large house, especially.
Yeah.
Now, were all the houses around yours like that?
Well, we had a large house. It was a two-story house that the Hunters, I believe the Hunters, lived in. It was a large, it was closer to Brevard Street. And we had, some were two family, you know, two sides.
Duplex?
Houses along there. And across the street we had a few shotgun houses over there, and two family houses closer to Caldwell Street. I think it was about two houses like that there. And of course, we had any number of different houses in the vicinity.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that the area was blighted or slumish, the government tried to say?
You know one thing, I didn't even realize nothing about the ghetto and all until I was in high school and heard that term, because I was brought up in First Ward, and we lived in a nice house there, and I just really hadn't heard nothing about it until I got there, and then I said in later years, well, I guess I lived in the ghetto. But I didn't realize that, because everything was, my parents tried to do everything for me. I was getting along just fine, and that thought never entered my mind.
So you did not, you moved to Brooklyn from First Ward when you got married, am I right?
Right. Uh-huh.
And then after you moved there, you had your children?
Yes. I married in 1946 when I graduated from college in Durham. That was North Carolina College for Negroes at that time, and later changed to North Carolina Central University. And then I went to live with my husband. They lived in a house on South Caldwell Street, and it was had 23 rooms in that house.
Oh my goodness!
And it was my husband's father sold that house and went back to the old home place on Stonewall Street, That is, we had to wait 6 months for those people to move out and then renovate the house and move there. So we were there until 62. Because my mother-in-law and father-in-law had died at that time, because we were going to bring them with us out here, wherever we moved. But they died, and so we built out here in 62.
So, you had to move then because of urban renewal. Was your beautiful house that was on Stonewall was actually torn down?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. When were you made aware of the city's plans to basically bulldoze Brooklyn?
I imagine it was about now. My husband usually I'm of the old school. So my husband took care of most of the business, and I was at home rearing the children and being his secretary. He was NAACP president at the time and of the state, and also the executive secretary of the Charlotte branch. So I was doing the secretary work for him there at home. But when it came through, we had to sell. And
about how old were your children at that time?
I think Kelly was in about the ninth grade, I believe, at that time. And they are 4 years apart.
Right.
And Alfred had to go to University Park School.
So he was probably about fifth grade?
Fifth grade, somewhere like that. Mm-hmm.
Now, from what you can remember, when you had to sell your house, was that when basically everything was being sold at the same time, or did it kind of progress rather slowly from what you can remember? Or was it just kind of boom and gone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Now, were you notified or your husband notified through mail or telephone, or do you think it was just word of mouth or the newspaper?
I imagine it was through, because he was a businessman, you know, so I imagine they wrote. And just, we knew, well, way I was reading the paper and everything, you were aware of what was happening. And so he and his brothers, took care of that. And I just...
Was he upset about the whole situation, or did he really...
He understood what was happening. And, of course, we didn't want to do it, but... I don't know if anything else could, when urban renewal comes through.
And everyone was kind of going through it at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm. Churches were being moved, and businesses, and everybody was uprooted.
Is that when they moved the funeral home to its location now?
It's not at that location. We went from there to Irvin Street, North Irvin Street. And then from North Irvin, we moved to Statesville Avenue. And that's where we are now. Mm-hmm.
So, now, do you remember the atmosphere of the community during urban mm-hmm. renewal? Was there a change in how people were interacting? Were people frustrated? And
well, before urban renewal, I mean, we had a rather close-knit community, and everybody knew just about everybody else, and you weren't afraid to walk around the neighborhood. People had a lot of respect for each other, and we would, everything was close by, church was close by, you could walk to church, you could walk downtown if you wanted to. When my kids were small, I would take them for first ward to visit my parents in either the stroller that you had or the carriage, or the, what's the other thing?
Wagon?
Hmm.
A wagon?
No, not a wagon. It was, I guess you call it a carriage or something, a big carriage that you had that you would push, put the baby in and push uh-huh. the baby. Well, I had one of those for Alfred when he came along, and then I had the stroller for Kelly, and would take him walk over there to.
So one person with two hands and two big, the stroller in well, one hand
no,
and
no,
a carriage in the
no,
other?
No, that's years apart. 4 years apart.
Right, so uh-huh. I. So your oldest son was out of the stroller by the time.
And yeah, like, see, I mean, he was, yeah, Kelly was walking, and Alfred was a baby.
Right.
So but from time to time, we would go over there. And then we had, the school could walk to school, down to 7th Ward and down to Miley Street. The movies was up on...
the Lincoln Theater?
The Lincoln Theater on 2nd Street. And then you had the Savoy Theater on McDowell Street. But I seldom went to the McDowell. I would go to Lincoln most of the time. And the Grand was out on Batesville Road, which you'd have to take the streetcar or the bus or something to get you out there.
So you never had to worry then when your children would go to hang out?
No, because I kept them home most of the time. And, because they had kids that they played with, but they had to be home at a certain kind of hour. I mean, I kind of kept eye on the situation.
Did you take them to the library very often?
The library was right up the street on the Vard Street and the Vard and 2nd Street. So they would go up there, and then we had library there at home, books for them to use for research, so that if the library, was too busy or something, that check out a book or something that somebody would have. They would have it at home so they could use.
Were they involved in any children's groups then?
Church groups. We had an NAACP. Matter of fact, Kelly Jr. started the Junior Youth Council of NAACP in 59, I believe it was. And I was advisor to the group. So we had quite a bit of activity going on in that group. And our church sponsored the group. So we would have programs, and we bought yes, I was advisor to the group, and we would have various programs for the adults. We'd have Punch Hour, King and between projects to raise funds. And the first project that we had was buying a life membership for Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. So that was $500 that we had to raise to get that. And we would give these little various programs, you know, and the parents were very nice about coming and, you know, and helping us out in the punch hours. And we'd have egg hunts and all that different kind of thing. And we bought that and presented the life membership to the church. And we had about 59 kids in the group. We would take them on trips to Raleigh to meet various speakers at the Mother of the Year program that the NAACP would sponsor. And we'd have some person like Jackie Robinson or Thurgood Marshall or Roy Wilkins or some of those NAACP figures to come down and speak to them, and they would get a chance to meet them. And on we took a busload of them up to Washington to the National Convention, and they stayed on Howard University's campus. And they had an opportunity to meet Robert Kennedy at that time and visit Arlington Cemetery and to President John Kennedy's gravesite and also Megan Evers' gravesite. So they were quite pleased about being able to meet those figures and going, you know, to do that.
I'm sure that was a very big deal.
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah, we had... They sold candy to get the bus. Each person had to sell 3 cases of candy because their parents helped them to get to sell the candy, you know. And they were allowed a seat on the bus for after selling 3 cases of candy. It was a 45 capacity bus. We had the bus all during the week for the convention, and so they enjoyed that, and I was with them on the bus, and they enjoyed that quite a bit.
So everybody in Brooklyn had cavities from all the candy kids were selling, right?
Yeah, I guess they took it on the job.
They should have sold candy and toothbrushes.
Well, isn't it the truth? Isn't it the truth? Yeah, no, I don't think they ate all the candy. I think they went to the job, and so the parents sold a lot of the candy, you know, for them. And then maybe they ate that potion high up there.
So were there other organizations for people in Brooklyn?
Well, we had our sororities and fraternities and social clubs and all that kind of thing. I am a member of the Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. So at that time, we met in homes because we didn't have, things were segregated at that time. And you had to have a large hall or something to, you know, to meet. So we met at homes. And sometimes we'd be in 3 or 4 rooms, you know, down the hall, and then the living room stretched across really 2 rooms. But we may do. And we had these social clubs would, they had, one was the Scorpions, and the, there was another club where they had the Black Cats and the different groups, but you had to be invited to go to these dances. And it was either they would have them at the Athenaeum Ballroom downtown, or the Sunset Park that was out in the northwest, out in this section, off Vegas Boat Road down there somewhere. And they've had,
Were those mainly gentlemen's groups, or?
Yeah, yes, they were.
They were
male. Some were. And then of course the some of the fraternities would have dances too. They would be the college crowd, all the graduates.
Mm-hmm. Alumni?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did your children participate in any of those organizations?
Oh, well, they were too young for that at that time. Now, my youngest son is a Omega. Kelly, my oldest son, did not pledge. Of course, my husband didn't pledge either part, so they had other, they were more interested in the NAACP and different organizations that they, they didn't go for that. But my youngest son did. His uncle was Q, so he went with that. I didn't have any girls, so. Yeah.
Did you enjoy raising your children in Brooklyn? Did you feel that that was a safe and ideal community?
Yes, I enjoyed it.
It was very comfortable?
Uh-huh. Right, it was.
So were you pretty upset then when you had to move? And
well, you never like to, I didn't like to move, but I had to move, so I made the best of it.
Yeah,
and
it's pretty
so
much what you have to do in
what
situations.
You have to do and carry on, And so I got busy in planning the home out here. And so we moved and life goes on.
Did you stay in contact with a lot of people that you socialized with in Brooklyn?
Well, yes, some of them are in my church. Some moved to other areas and in a various over at St. Paul, different churches. I come in contact with them from time to time when somebody dies and they might call us. And I see a lot of the old crowd, then at various funerals. So yes, we, constantly running into somebody.
And you're also still active with your sorority, am I right?
Right.
And you come into contact with Brooklyn.
Right.
People there.
That's true.
As well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. I do.
It's really quite resilient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to be though, right?
Yes, that's right. You have to. Life goes on. Yeah, they bombed our house in 1965.
The Brooklyn house?
Right here. No.
This
house right here.
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh. That I got on the porch there, the bombing was. And because of our activity, I guess, in the NAACP, and that didn't deter us, however. We continued doing what we had to do, trying to make things better.
Now, who would have been responsible for the bombing?
They haven't found that out today. We don't know who did it.
Oh, my goodness.
It's unsolved. The case is unsolved.
But nobody was hurt.
Luckily, and by the grace of God, nobody was hurt. It could have been because we were in the bed. It was at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was on November 22nd, 1965.
Was, do you or does your family believe it might have been racial or?
May have been.
May have been?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We don't know. We don't know. Because three other homes were bombed that same time. We got the worst end, however, and then right next door, my brother-in-law lived right next door, Fred, and his was bombed, and Julius Chambers and Reginald Hawkins. We think that they perhaps threw the bomb as they believe in their yard, so they didn't get Hawkins and Chambers didn't get very much damage, but Fred and we might have been the first one out because we heard boom, 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 you know, we heard that. So we don't know how many people.
But nobody out of any of the bombings were hurt.
Right. No, no, okay. No.
Because I know you said that your family wasn't, but any other
they,
thank goodness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes, and they don't know. It's unsolved. They don't know who, but they do. We don't know.
And that was during the height of, like, the civil rights movement, Mom.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And so when we're talking about life goes on, you know, even after that.
You still have things you're dealing with, and so you can't deal with the past anymore. You have to deal with the present.
Right, right. And go on.
But lately, things are pretty smooth, right?
Yes, yes. Well, my husband died in 85, April 2nd, 1985. However, my children were still involved with NAACP, but they are not now. They are more involved with the business now than within 1996 we kind of moved on, but they grew up in the NAACP because the father was involved in that. And until 1996, we were all very active in ACP.
Are any of your grandchildren active in the NAACP?
Well, they both are life members that when I enrolled them as soon as they were born into...
Your grandchildren?
For life members, uh-huh. Nathaniel is Alfred's son. And... Kelly the third, Kelly's son. So when they were born, I grandmama enrolled them into the NAACP. But I don't know right now. Nathan is a sophomore at Morehouse, and little Kelly the third, I call him little Kelly, is in Johannesburg, South Africa, and he will be coming out this year, I think. Out of high school.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you think there's anything else pertaining to Brooklyn or urban renewal or anything else that you would like to discuss? Maybe about the community or urban renewal itself? I mean, do you think it was a success or a failure?
But urban renewal? Well, they still remove, you know, I was removed from First Ward even. Well, I was in college at the time, but my parents, because we lived 709 East 11th Street, and now that's the highway going down
mm-hmm.
where that house was. And so they had to move to, they moved to 21st Street. After that, in the 400 block on 21st Street. But my parents are dead now. And so that made twice that my folk were uprooted. And so I'm hoping that we can stay here because everything is kind of coming out this way now, you know, getting people buying property and so forth. And so I'm hoping that the next move will be Yawk Memorial for me. I'm 82 years old now, so I'm hoping that we won't be uprooted again and that this is permanent situation for my family, hopefully.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a lesson to be learned from the whole urban renewal?
Yes. I think so, but whether or not anybody is listening, I do not know. But I hope so.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll look positively on the situation.
Yeah.
And hope for the best.
Do you remember when, since you were talking about a highway going through where your parents used to live,
mm-hmm.
do you remember when Independence Avenue was put through Brooklyn? Or not Independence?
I think Independence,
yes,
yeah.
Independence
it came,
Boulevard.
Yeah, yeah, it came because we were living, Stonewall was.
In the 1940s.
In the 1940s, I think, that it started talking about it.
And it was around the mid to late 1940s.
Uh-huh, when it happened. But we were right there because we were there before it happened. And when we had the muddy streets and so forth and so on. And I can recall my father-in-law, he was getting over in the evening. And he used to like to walk in the streets, you know, because you could walk in the streets then because you didn't have too many cars coming through. But when Independence Boulevard was put through there, you know, and he always liked to take a walk in the evenings. Most of the time he would go down to the post office from Stonewall Street, which was his walk that he would take in the evening, get his mail, and then he would come on back. Then he started going down toward McDowell Street. And when he'd get out there on the pavement sidewalk, and then he would step down off the sidewalk sometimes and get there. And we tell him, get back up on the we on the porch, you know. And we tell him, get back up on the sidewalk, you know. And then he'd get up on the sidewalk and walk. But unfortunately, he was down toward McDowell Street and was getting ready to cross the street, and a car hit him.
Oh, my goodness.
And he died as a result of that accident that happened down there. But he was way up in age, you know, at that time.
He wasn't on the sidewalk, was he?
He was, I guess he was getting ready to cross the street. But, I mean, if he was down in, I don't know, because I wasn't down there. But I think he was getting ready to cross the street.
Oh.
And the car whipped around the corner.
Oh, my goodness.
And got him.
Oh, that's horrible.
And, So, and my mother-in-law had gone down to visit one of her relatives on Meyer Street, I believe it was. And so I had to get in touch with her down there. I was at home with the kids. And I had to get in touch with her to let her know about the accident. And they had taken him to the hospital that time, so he never got to come back home after that accident. Mm-hmm.
That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say were some of your fondest memories of Brooklyn, since
Brooklyn.
We've talked about some of the sad ones?
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, well, living there was really, I mean, that was my first home with my husband and family. My children were born there, and everything was so convenient. Now I don't drive, and I could walk to things at that time. Now, living out here, I have to have somebody to take me most of the places that I go, you know, now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really, I enjoyed being there, and everything was comfortable. However, we have more bathrooms now than we had at that time. At that time, and we have more closet space than we had in those, you know, at that time. But all in all, I lived a very comfortable life there in Brooklyn, and I'm all for progress, however, but. I can't say that I didn't enjoy my life and my children, my family, and friends, and being able to go here, there, and yon. You know, so I enjoy that.
If it were possible for you to snap your fingers
mm-hmm.
and put Brooklyn back to the way it was, mm-hmm. and go back and live there now, even though these years have gone by. Mm-hmm. Do you think that it would be possible to remake the community the way it was, or do you think that...
Oh, well, I wouldn't want it the way it was. I mean, you know, I'd want it to be upgraded.
But I mean the mm-hmm. sense of community.
Oh, the sense of community.
Do you think you could ever get that back, even if you could go back to Brooklyn and have everything...
I don't know if the same, because you mean you would have different people, different...
If you could get pretty much at least the... The same people even after they've grown up. Do you think you'd be able to remake that community? Or do you think it's kind of bittersweet and it wouldn't be able to be faked again? Difficult question, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, it is. I mean, because it might be, as you say, bittersweet, thinking that you could, you know, go back and have things like that. Life goes on.
Yeah.
So we have to adapt.
That's the theme of this interview.
Right.
Life goes on.
And you have to adapt to the situation.
Well, is there anything else that you think we should discuss, or anything that I might have forgotten to ask you?
No, I think not.
Pretty confident with it?
Yeah.
All right, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.